reach our community, we devised or customized our own outreach material. Now back 31 years ago, when we first started, when I was a young man, 31, wow, that seemed like a long time. It's kind of depressing when I say it out loud, you know? Anyway, if I just kind of go into a funk, you know what happened, okay?
We didn't know you were that old.
I just put in for Social Security. So I thought, you know, I think I shouldn't say this, but there's a reason I put in for it now instead of waiting. Seems like the government's just giving it willy-nilly out to everybody. I thought, I better get my share before it's all gone. So, I think I qualify. I'm a citizen. But anyway, I'll leave it to that. Now you know why I jumped on board early. But in our efforts to reach out to our community, we have our own materials. We use door hangers. We print up our own door hangers. We craft our own custom messages for our door hangers. We have probably half a dozen different door hangers for different reasons. Whenever we hold what some churches call Friends Day or Friendship Day, does that sound familiar? Okay. We call it Visitor Sunday. It's the same thing. So we have a door hanger that says invites them to Visitor Sunday. And so we will pass those out just prior to that Sunday. And we haven't had a lot of people come. But I'm going to get to that in just a little bit. So we do that with door hangers. We invite them for a home Bible study. So there's just different messages. They're basically salvation-oriented. It is outreach. And you know what? You can't overload people when they don't even know you. If you start hitting them with all of your doctrine and then try to pack it into one tract or a door hanger or something, you're going to lose them. I remember when I was newly married. It was about a year after we were married, Vicki and I, and she hadn't met my dad yet. And of course, we were in California, in the Bay Area, and I wanted her to meet my dad, which is up in Havre, Montana. How many know where Havre, Montana is? Okay, all right, there you go, all right. Well, he wanted to impress, so the city girl. So he took us out fishing on some rancher's reservoir, and I got away from him and kind of went on my own spot. And there was a big tractor inner tube there on the property, probably where the rancher's kids like to swim, and he sat on that inner tube. And so I just kicked it over, and all these little baby frogs were hopping all over. I thought, wow, this is like bait right here. So I grabbed one, and I hooked it, and I threw it out there. And next thing you know, wow, that pole just went like that. And, well, he looked over. He wasn't getting any bites. So he looked over, and he saw my pole, you know, like a giant sea, okay? He drops his pole, and he comes rushing over, and he saw me doing this, you know? He says, and he hollers out, "Don't horse it! Don't horse it!" Okay? And that's what I was doing. You know, you can lose it. Like, you can snap the line, or if you didn't tie the hook on right, or the lure, it'll just come right off, okay? So he was, you know, he knew I had something big. It was either a pretty good-sized fish or a Loch Ness monster. It was something big. So he came running over, and so he kind of, you know, guided me to it, so I relaxed a little bit. And I pulled in an 8-pound trout. That's not too bad. That's not too bad. Anyway, back to the point. Don't horse it. Don't overwork it. Don't put too much energy into it or you'll lose it. So our message has to be simple because they don't know you, you know, from Adam, as it were. And so you have to be, Jesus said, wise as serpents and harmless as doves, okay, in your approach. And so they don't know your theology. But I tell you what, something that's universal, they'll judge you by. They don't know your doctrine or anything, but they will judge you on your love amongst one another. If they do happen to come, they'll judge you on your love for one another. And your reception of them, a stranger, in your midst.
Amen.
So those are things that are universal. Everybody does that. Okay. Now, sure, you want to take them where you know they need to go in order to what? Become a disciple. But you have to not horse them. You have to go easy. Well, the same thing may be said of your outreach material. Don't overload it. Don't pack it in. Just lighten it up a little bit. let the Lord do His work. Otherwise, you're trying to do all of it and leave the Holy Spirit out of the whole operation. Okay. So be wise in your consideration of material. This is another. Oh, here they are. I found them. They're under this. Okay. So here's the. Yeah, I needed to retire. But anyway, so on this side, they're all the same. It's our contact information. Notice what's really huge. Our website. We just baptized Rachel and Marlene, who found us on our website. And so we just create the website, and like anything else, whether you go knock on a door or whether you put a tract somewhere throughout your community, or whether you invite somebody, the rest of it's up to the Lord. So a website is no different. It's just another tool. Okay? Even if you witness to a co-worker, okay, you're the vehicle directly. What are you hoping on? That they'll listen to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. So you're just the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Website is just a vehicle. Well, I know it's illegal, but you're only supposed to have one pole in the water at a time. Is that right? Did I understand that? Okay. Well, not so with fishing for men. In fact, we need to have a lot of holes in the water. Website being one. Personal witnessing, one-on-one. Okay. Door hangers, whatever it might be. You need to have a lot of holes in the water. Well, what better place to fish than a place where you know the fish are there already? You don't have to stock the pond in the web. The internet is teeming with fish. All you have to do is drop a pole in the water and let the Lord do the rest. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to invent anything or reinvent the wheel. Just put the pole in the water and let the Lord do the rest. And so that's what we did with our website. And we baptized Marlene and her daughter Rachel. Her grown daughter, she's what, 23, I think it is, 24, something like that. Her mom has some health issues, so Rachel is not married, she's single, and she lives with her mom, takes care of her mom. So, but they found us that way. And so, in fact, we just also baptized Brian, and a little different story there, but still the internet, right? Still the internet. Okay. All right. So we have our contact information here. We have our Facebook page, our phone number, Facebook page, our website, and email. And then I have the same thing. I'm trying to make it look similar to our website. So if they go there, they see a lot of similar information. Okay. If you click on our website, on this part says listen, learn, and live. I like that. Because that's what we're all about. If you listen to the truth and you start learning the truth, you're going to end up living the best life you could ever imagine, right? So listen, learn, and live. So you click on that. If you click on that on our website, it'll take you to a separate page, right? So on the back is our that specific message right there. Okay, in this case, it's sorry we missed you. We stopped by today to bring you good news. First and foremost, the good news we want to share is that Jesus died for you so that you might have eternal life. The second bit of good news is that Jesus' resurrection from the dead gives assurance of Him returning with His kingdom as He promised. Oh, he's slipping in a little something there, aren't you? Okay? Not a lot of people are preaching the kingdom. Okay? So, by the way, this gives them a little clue. Kingdom. Okay? So, let's look. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Okay? Many have already heard the news and have repented of their sins and have received Jesus into their lives as personal Savior in preparation for His coming kingdom. There's no better time than now. Make no mistake, Jesus is coming. Will you be ready to? Let us hear from you. How simple can that be? You're giving them room to think about it, to mull it over, and to... pick up the phone, give us a call, or show up. Okay. This one here is, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to reach people for Christ. And then another little message. However, it does take the power of God working on the heart and mind of a sinner, bringing him to the realization that he cannot save himself, that Jesus' sacrifice is his only hope. We may not know about rocket science, but we do know that God loved the world so much that he gave his son, gave us his son to die for us. But there's more. Give us a call. Okay, so it's a call to action. This is important in business world. You see on these websites, there's a call to action. Fill in this form for sign up for this or sign up. It's a call to action. Okay? So we're simply using the models that people are very familiar with and utilizing them for the Lord. That's all. Okay? Again, if people's minds are over here, in other words, their minds, because of society and the way things have shaped up, the millennials, and they're all over here. Their mind is over here, social media, all this. And you're over here with your means or your methods or whatever. You're kind of stuck in this groove with this rut that has shaped your outreach efforts or whatever. But everybody's over there. And you're over here. I say, let's go where the fish are. Jesus told the Apostle Peter, I will make you what? Fishers of men. Okay? And every fisherman knows that you either use a pole or a net. Okay? Or for the last, what do they use? They use a javelin, right? Okay, but you get the idea. There's a tool. A pole is a tool. Unless you want to dive in, Brother Chuck, and get it yourself. Okay? A net is a tool. The internet is a tool. And that's where we catch the fish. Okay? But we're not catching the fish. It's the Lord doing it. We're just putting the tool to work. Amen? So I understand that. Okay? We're not just relying on our own efforts. Visitor Sunday. It's a real special day that you have. We also have, once a year we go out to the campgrounds. Foster's were there last year. Paddy Canyon. We have... In lieu of our Sunday morning services where we meet at the conference center, we just pack everything up and go out in the woods. And we have our Bible study, we have singing, we have preaching, and horseshoes. Got to have horseshoes, right? That kind of completes the service, doesn't it? Okay. But we have all that, and we invite people. So it's an outreach tool. It's an outreach tool. And there are some people who would much rather go to the woods than they would to a church. Okay? So, that's just another means, another method. Here's one that I was sharing with some of you. We print out a bulletin every Sunday. And when I look at the chairs, when we leave, I see bulletins left on the chairs. And I got this crazy idea, well, why don't I collect these leftover bulletins and put them together in kind of a booklet form and repurpose them out into the community. And again, very similar contact. It looks familiar. It's the same arrangement. Okay. What you want to do when you're trying to brand your product or your business, it's got to be familiar. You've got to have continuity. Okay. So when they see that, they say, I've seen that somewhere before. Well, yeah, it's been on. It's everything we give out. It's the same thing. Same contact information. Same arrangement. You're beginning to brand. So they remember, I've seen Missoula Landmark, Missionary Baptist. I've seen that somewhere. Okay? And in the business world, they call that top of mind. Mm-hmm. Top of mind. Okay? So you want your product to be top of mind in people. So when they think of a device that you have a cold and you pull it out of the box and you blow your nose, you're using a Kleenex. Really, it's a tissue paper, but you say Kleenex. Well, they've done a pretty good job, top of mind, haven't they? It's just a tissue paper, but they got you hooked. You say Kleenex. Okay? Other people, other than Kleenex, makes tissue paper. But they grabbed you, they got you. Okay? So top of mind. Well, that doesn't happen if you don't get your, if you don't let them know you exist. Okay? And again, it's not that we're trying to outrun Jesus or overpower the work. Remember, Jesus said, you go and make disciples. That means you've got to do something. I will make you fisher of men. That means you've got to be fishing. Right? You do your part, I'll do mine. Now, so I get back to this. we haven't made a big inroad there as far as people. I mean, in terms of baptism and, you know, membership. No, not in 31 years. We're not running into the hundreds. We're not running into the 50s. We're running into the 20s. Wow, you make it sound like you got 1,000 or more. No. The point is this. We just have discovered the secret is that we're trying to do the part that we were assigned, we were tasked with, and let the rest of it up to the Lord.
Okay.
And so we cannot reap. Isn't that what the Bible says? The reaping's left up to who? Okay. So if that part's his part, that's his department, that's his power, then why would we be discouraged? And I'm saying this just because this is, you know, the ideal thing. But because I've been discouraged. Okay, I had to, you know, spank myself several times over this. It won't be the last time, okay? But why do we cross over into that territory, that area, and fret and worry about that part that we have no control over anyway? Why don't we just keep it over here and stick with the assignment? You water, or you plant and you water. I'll do the rest. So if we go like this, well, you know, gee, there's been no results or very few results. Well, count on it. Number one, the age we're living in. Number two, the doctrine you preach is not diluted. It's specific and it's, you know, it's strong. Okay? So the environment, the doctrine, and then what's happening in our land, okay, and I'll get to that in just a moment. There's so much working against you. Okay, so we need to stick in the lane that we were assigned to, and that is to plant and to water, leave up, the rest up to the Lord. Okay, if we get discouraged and say, "Well, you know, this didn't work," and I'm just not going to do it anymore. What we've done is we've shut down our only assignment, our only commandment. We've stopped it. What? That doesn't make sense. We were given one thing to do. And if we don't do that because we're discouraged, because we're lacking in results, then I have to face the Lord in that. Look, I gave you one thing to do. And you decided not to do it because you weren't getting the results. Now, let me ask you a question. Were the results up to you or to me? Well, they were up to you, Lord. Okay, then why did you stop doing that? If you couldn't control that anyway, all right, take that one talent from him and give it to someone else who is doing it. Simple as that. Amen? So let's not get caught in that mindset of, you know, it just doesn't work. I know it doesn't work in terms of the amount of time, the amount of materials you pass out for the results. No, it doesn't work as far as that part. But you know what does work? Is that you planted a seed in some home, and now it's between them and God. Their blood is not on your hands. And so you have fulfilled your obligation, period. Amen? So why would we just stop and be discouraged? We can't do that. So the bulletins are just another, you know, there's 13 bulletins, so they comprise one quarter. This one is the fourth quarter of 2014. And so I just put them together, bundle them together, take them to laundromats, again, where fish gather. And while they're drying their clothes, right? Hey, what's this, you know? Got the watchtower over here, and they wake up, oh, well, what's this? Hey, you know. I see, and they start thumbing through, and they got all kinds of articles. I mean, just on just different subjects, you know, challenging their faith and educating them in some areas, you know. So, some of you are on our bulletin emailing list, right? Yeah. So you get one of these every week.
Right.
You know, you get it, okay?
Yeah.
So, and I haven't received anything so far to say, you know, would you kind of take me off the list? No, my brother Chuck did that. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't gotten anything like that. It's a, please, you know, remove me, okay? In fact, Sister Barbara, Texas, said, you know, I enjoy it. Okay, so I've gotten positive responses from it. And from a sister in Arkansas, I forget what church she goes to, Tipton. She goes by Tipton, last name is Tipton, so maybe ABA, I'm not sure. Well, but she had a few years ago, she had a daughter, son-in-law, and four grandsons living in, I think, the Belgrade or Bozeman area. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have since moved out of there, but somehow in that all that process, she was, you know, connected with us. Well, bless her heart, from Arkansas there, she sends our church $50 a month to help our little church out. Isn't that something? Well, she's on our list. And she has emailed a couple times how much she appreciates the little articles and things and stuff like that. So, you know, so we can be a blessing to the unsaved as well as our brethren, you know, along the way. So, all right. Well, that brings me to, one more thing. We just finished studying this topic. And I'm sure that you've heard about this perhaps in the news. And we just finished this DVD. And out of these four, there's one more coming in September. It's the fourth one. And it will be what they also call a super moon. The moon will be at its closest proximity to the Earth. So it will appear to be larger, in addition to being blood red. So we are very much interested in this because a pattern is beginning to show up on the days that these moons are landing, okay? Which happens to be Passover and Tabernacles. Yeah, I don't think that's by accident, especially when the Bible tells us to observe these things, that God will send signs in the sky, in the heavens, okay? The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon will turn to blood. And so I would encourage you to follow up on stuff like this. We did this. We rotate our services in the homes on Wednesday nights. And so we have a DVD. So we plug the DVD in and on the monitor. Watch this for how many Wednesdays? Four or five, maybe? I forget. And we were enthralled with this information. Okay, because of the pattern that is showing. You know what? It's up to me as the shepherd of the sheep to inform the sheep. I'm supposed to inform. Not all the sheep have the tools or the connections or whatever to compile information, to be on the lookout for certain information. But I do. And so when I get a hold of stuff like this, I go, wow, is this pertinent for us? So my job is to inform them, especially we're in the last days. And so I want them to be informed about what's happening, what's coming. Okay. By the way, if you're not familiar, we teach that we're going to go through the tribulation. So if we didn't teach that, then why would they need to be informed?
Yeah. Amen.
But I believe we are going to be going through the tribulation, and there'll be many martyrs, by the way. And so I certainly don't want people, losing faith, under a crisis moment. And so I want them to be informed as to what's coming. So that's my job as shepherd, to watch out for the wolves and such like that. So anyway, that was my introduction. I'm just going to look at a couple of scriptures tonight along the same line. Okay? And I'm going to go over to Acts 1:8. And then I'm going to jump back over to Amos chapter 8. Okay, so let's go to Acts 1:8. I'll just put my phone here. It's about quarter two, maybe quarter three. Yes. I know you're familiar with this passage. It's important for us preachers to connect with our audience. So one of the things that you always want to do when you speak is to bring your audience to a place where we're pretty much familiar. And this will be our base. This will be our starting point. where we're on equal ground. You yourselves have been in this passage probably numerous times. So let's just start right here. Okay? As you well know, this is post-resurrection as far as Jesus. And he informed his church there to stay put in Jerusalem, awaiting the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we understand that they were a priesthood. It was a modified priesthood. They were not Levites. They were not from the tribe of Levi. And so in order for all that to take place, of course, God had to adjust things from the way they were to the way he was guiding them. In fact, if he was to be high priest, then there had to be a change, right, Brother Gary? Or else Jesus wouldn't have qualified. So in this new upgraded picture or vision, in order to bring Jesus in as high priest, the priesthood had to be altered as well. Okay? So if you're not going to stick with Aaron's sons, then you're not limited then to sticking with Aaron's sons as far as the priesthood, okay, from high priest to priest. All right, so he opened it up, all right? So they were, as priests, were awaiting their anointing on another, guess what? Jewish holiday, a Jewish feast day of Pentecost, okay? Okay, so we want to start with verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Why are they asking that question? Well, think about what was preached for the previous 3 years or so. Was it not the kingdom?
Amen.
And so, they want to know. They looked around and said, you know what? Seems to me, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but we still have a Roman rule here. There's no kingdom. So what happened? Even John the Baptist wondered what was going on. So that was on their minds, rightfully so. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice how the radius gets bigger. Okay. Now this is a little different than what they had been used to under Jesus' ministry. He limited them where they could go. In fact, he said, he didn't really say, we're not really told, he says, don't go to the Gentiles. Well, did he say don't go to the Gentiles, or did he just say go to the lost sheep? Maybe he did say, did he say go not the way of the Gentiles? That kind of sounds familiar.
Right.
Did he say, you know, it's coming back now. I think he may have said, go not the way of the Gentiles, but go only, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that was a limited commission, but now he's widening it out, okay? Because in his mind, the vision he has is to engulf Gentiles, non-Jews, into this whole picture. He's going to broaden the priesthood under the high priestly ministry of Jesus, who was outside of the Aaronic priesthood. And so he's saying, you wait here. It's very important that you receive power from the Holy Spirit, who will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in this whole area. Okay? And so we learn right away that he was tasking them with being his witnesses. Well, that's what this is all about. We're just being his witnesses. Okay? And so you do your part, he says, and I'll do mine. Okay? Very important that we stay in our lane. We don't try to jump the lane and worry about reaping and then being discouraged because we're not reaping like we want. Okay? I'll tell you what, if we don't plant and water, oh, we'll reap all right. We'll reap. That's when the reaping will happen, right? We'll reap for not doing what we were told to do. So our job is that. But I mentioned a little while ago that we're taking this beautiful gospel of the kingdom, which, by the way, he said would be preached into all the world as a witness. And then the end will come. Okay, so we have this beautiful truth, this gospel that was delivered to us. It's now up to us to be faithful to that calling. faithful to that ministry. Okay? The Apostle Paul realized that in his deep appreciation for God, you know, calling him in spite of who he was, very appreciative of, he just now, I just want to fulfill this ministry. I just want to you know, be worthy of it, fulfill it, my calling. I just want to apprehend that for which I was apprehended. I just want to not fall short of anything that God has called me to do or has promised to give me. I don't want to fall short of that. I don't want to miss the mark. So Paul realizes. Okay? Well, we realize that that's us. We're descendants of these churches in the New Testament. We are descendants of their work and their ministry. And I'm glad they didn't give up under their own hardships. I'm glad Paul didn't give up when he was stoned, when he found himself treading water, or hungry, or betrayed by brethren. I'm glad he didn't give up. Have you faced anything like that, or have you been close to that? No, not yet. But everything we see in the world, and there's so much against this gospel, and now it's ramping up. Are we surprised that believers, I use the word Christian, you know, very, you know, I guess discreetly or carefully, but I'm not. You can't be a stick in the mud about it. But believers all over the world, Iraq, there are a lot, even Muslims, who have turned to Jesus. And in believers in Egypt, there's a sufficient number of believers all across the Middle East. And they are losing their lives for their faith in Isa, as they say, in Jesus. They're losing their lives. They're being tortured. They're being sold into slavery. So we haven't come near that yet. And so, in the meanwhile, we realize we're in a very hostile world, and we're told over in Amos chapter 8, that which was pretty much predicted. Verse 11. Here we go. I had another marker. Amos 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Amen. Now, some of these prophecies were dual. And I would dare say that in Amos' time, there was a famine in the land. That's what got Israel in trouble in the first place. They started worshiping other gods, and the word of God was pretty scarce. In fact, if you stood up for the word of God, you were hated, especially by some of the kings of Israel. But I believe we're in a famine now. I believe we have been in a famine for quite a while. But just like California, you know, several years roll by and it just gets worse and worse, and the water is scarce, and pretty soon you cut off privileges. You know, you can't water this, you can't, you know. And so it just escalates and gets worse and worse. We're seeing escalation of the famine, aren't we? We're seeing the fallout. We're seeing the results of the famine of the Word of God, which stretches way back, I don't know, to the 60s. You know, they're taking prayer out of the schools. They've got, dope and acid running wild. They've got free love. You know, this is what I read about in the history books. No, I lived it. I was there. Okay. Wish I could say it was history books, but... And I'm proud to say, and I kind of joke with my wife, it's kind of morbid joke. All throughout the 60s, when they're passing marijuana and LSD, and a lot of the rock stars are dropping over dead because of, you know, drugs, heroin, and such. My wife and I, we met. She was 15, and I was 16, and we met. And neither one of us has smoked marijuana. You mean you went through the in the 60s? Come on now. Are you? No, my fingers aren't crossed. Look at, they're not crossed. Okay. Never smoked marijuana. Okay. I won't say I never came in contact with it. I'm just saying I never smoked. Okay. So there's some stories there before I was saved. But that's neither here nor there. Okay. Never smoked it. And so the morbid joke was that here we go to the 60s or 70s. It just continued on. Just rolled right on through. 70s and 80s now. Prescription drugs are going through the roof. You know, it's just getting out of control. I told Ricky, I said, here we go to the 60s and we never did drugs. And here you are now in your 60s. And you're taking drugs. She had cancer. And so they had her pretty doped up. She had her gallbladder taken out. And they found cancer inside the gallbladder. And they said, we need to take this out now, right now. And so they sent it to the lab, and sure enough, there was a tumor in there. And so she had a second surgery once the gallbladder was removed. They wanted to go in and clean out the area in case, you know, there was any cancer cells nearby hiding out. And so they took out, I think, 9 lymph nodes, 10% of her liver, and bile duct. So they went in and cleaned out a good portion of the area. Okay. And so they had her on, I can't even remember the names of these drugs. But she was feeling pretty good. And so that was the joke was, look, here we've gone through the 60s and 70s, and all this without taking any drugs. And here you are, all drugged up right now, in your 60s. She's 16. 61. 61. So that was our joke. But we are living in a time where there's a famine in the land. So this is what we're facing as we take this beautiful message out into the world. A world that despises you, that despises your word, your message. They will not always appreciate your kindness and your love for Jesus. In fact, in some circles, you mention that you love Jesus. Oh, you just stand, just wait for the repercussions on that. You could lose your job. Just take a stand. Your faith, you take a stand and say, I'm not baking a cake for you. I'm not shooting your wedding. Well, we'll see about that. And then you slap with a lawsuit. So they don't appreciate your values and your morals and your virtue. No, are you kidding? It's just what Isaiah said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Coming a day where they'll call what is good, they'll call it evil. And what is evil, they'll call it good. They'll make it into a virtue. And so now it's a virtue for transgender operation. That's a virtue. Well, hey, if they want to, what's wrong with that? Okay. So now it is completely out of phase. This is the famine we're living in. So what do we do? Just hold up? Just stay in our bunkers? And just preach and teach to one another? Keep each other stoked? Or do we get out there with the gospel? The same world that needed the gospel, you know, during the Anabaptist Waldensian time, needs us now. And so, that's our job, to get out there and deal with this. Now, we can't stop the famine from coming. It's already here. We can't even slow it down. It's steamrolling over the world. But what we can do is just be faithful to our God for the task that we have been given. That's all we can do. What else can we do? And those that listen, like Brian, like Marlene, Rachel, they saved themselves out of the untoward generation, didn't they? They believed. And now they're on board. They're on board now. Their entire life has been changed, and they're on board now to wear a bridal garment. Amen?
Amen.
So, this is our job. There's a famine in the world. And I have some other points. That famine has reached into false religion, of course. There is some truth in false religion. That's how Satan rolls. there is a famine in some Lord's churches. Getting caught up with things that aren't true. There's, you know, some churches there's a famine. I mean, it's void of some elements of truth. So, lest we think that we are immune to it, I don't think so. There are some certain things that we hold to that some of our sister churches don't. We believe that Jesus is coming back at the end of the tribulation period. Some of our sister churches, you know, bless their hearts, believe that He's coming before. We don't believe that all the saved are going to be resurrected at the coming of Christ. Bless their hearts. Some of our sister churches believe all the saved are going to be resurrected. You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of that's just a matter of, like, you know, opinion. They might not call that a famine. But the famine has infiltrated even into our Lord's churches, where Paul told Timothy that some would turn their ears from the truth. They would kind of create a famine by turning their ears from the truth. When the members turn their ears from the truth and they get wrapped up into the world, they're creating their own famine around them. And as a result, they end up like Demas. Demas, you know, threw himself into this, you know, famine, and he departed from serving. And left Paul kind of, you know, out there. And so it can happen. And we're forewarned that some will depart from the faith. They create their own famine of the Word of God. Some have embraced false teaching, you know. I've always gone on record to believe that I believe in eternal security. I believe that once a person has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior by faith, that they'll never be a child of hell or lake of fire, whatever you call it. That there's three destinations for every human being. The one we're shooting for is what? Let's say all together, the kingdom, the bride, okay? And then there's those outside of that area. They don't get to go in the city like the bride. Okay? Yet they trusted in Jesus. So we say they're the saved of these nations. That's who you're going to be ruling over, by the way.
Amen.
Okay? If only the faithful are going to be on the earth, then how do you have faithful ruling over faithful?
Amen.
That makes sense. And then that third group, they never gave Jesus the time of day. The people you witnessed to and just turned him down flat. Never accepted Christ. There's a place for them too. Ultimately, like the fire. So that's our world.
But that's always been the world.
Who are we to say, Lord, you know, but you don't understand this world. Wait a minute. It seems to me he was crucified by a bunch of hostile, angry people. Okay? Jesus knows our world because he lived it. Amen.
Amen.
The disciples know our world because every one of them traditionally was martyred. And of course, then as we travel through history, the Anabaptists know our world because they live also.
Amen.
And so we're not some island, you know, as far as a dearth or a famine in the land. It's been that way. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you also. Because you represent Jesus. It's kind of a new phrase. I didn't, maybe it's an old phrase, but I guess I just caught on. You've heard the expression where one person from a certain area is another person from that same area. And that second person is going to perform some skill or do something. And the first person says, okay, now you go out there, you represent. You know, from where we're from, you know, represent, right? You know, do a good job, you know, because I'm from your area, okay? And if you do poorly, it's going to come back on me too. So go out there and represent. But what are we to Jesus? We're his ambassadors. We are his representatives. So what do we need to do? Represent. Amen? If we want to be in the same place in the city, we better represent. Okay? Because when Jesus swoops down, sends out those angels are commanded to be specific in who they gather. You're going to gather the elect.
Amen.
Okay? You elect angels, gathering the elect. And so, if we want to be among that group, then we better represent. And that begins with keeping our focus on the one commandment. is make disciples. Alright? So let's get out there and do it. Amen? Get out there and do it. Alright. That's all I got, brother. That's all I got.